going to skip to Kino Yud Aleph, Vayakonin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu, Eicha Eli Konanume Elav, page 182 in the Art Scroll, page Chaf in the Shul pamphlet Kinos, page 182 in the Art Scroll, page Chaf in the Shul Kinos, Vayakonin Yirmiyo, Eicha Eli Konanume Elav. This kina describes the story, tragic ending of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, who is described in the kina, Gam b'chol malcha Yisrael asher kamu ligdar lo kam kamohu mimos avigdar, that throughout the history of the kings of Israel, there was never a king like Yoshiyahu since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a melech who oversaw a tremendous tshuva movement during his reign. The Navi in Malachim Beis, Perek Chav Gimel, tells us that kamohu lo haya lefan of melech asher shav el Hashem b'chol avavo u'b'chol nafsho u'b'chol ma'odo. There was never before him a king that repented, that returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu so wholeheartedly, k'chol toras Moshe, v'acharav lokam kamohu. There never was a king afterward who did tshuva to the extent that Yoshiyahu HaNavi did tshuva. He became king when he was only a boy of 8 years old. And yet he died when he was only 39 years old. He was the grandson of Menashe, son of Ammon. He reigned at a time when Bnei Yisrael were worshipping Avodah Zarah throughout the country. The Navi tells us that in renovations of the Beis HaMikdash, a Sefer Torah was found, which when Yoshiyahu read it, he was inspired to destroy the Avodah Zarah throughout Eretz Yisrael, to enforce and to build a massive tshuva movement throughout the country. He facilitated the first bringing of the Korban Pesach in generations. He destroyed the altars that were used for Avodah Zarah purposes. The Navi says that there wasn't a Korban Pesach like the one that was brought in his time since the times of Shmuel HaNavi. And yet the Navi describes that when Paro Necho of Mitzrayim wanted to cross through Eretz Yisrael to do battle with Asher to the north of Eretz Yisrael, there was a disagreement between Yirmiyahu HaNavi and Yoshiyahu as to whether he should allow them to cross through Israel. Yoshiyahu, who thought that the Bnei Yisrael were on a level of perfection of righteousness, referred to the pasuk at the end of Sefer Vayikra, v'cherev lo yisavor ba'artzachem, that no sword shall cross through your country when you are serving God properly. And Yoshiyahu said that means even a cherev shel shalom, even when the sword is not being brandished against us, but is being taken through our country to fight others, it's not supposed to happen. And he refused to allow power to cross through Eretz Yisrael. Yirmiyahu encouraged him to allow him, instead of starting a battle with Mitzrayim over this issue. And as the Kina describes, Melech Mitzrayim says to Yoshiyahu, Maliv Allah Hayom L'Salach, why should you and I fight? Idei Am Ha'aretz Damim B'Malach, why should we fill the hands of the people in your country with blood? Te'onesh, you'll be punished if you don't let me go through. And yet, Yoshiyahu refused L'Ma'an L'Savra Cherev Kol Shu B'Ephraim. He didn't want to allow any sword cross through Ephraim whatsoever. V'lo Shom Malachoz L'Shuv Acharayim, he refused to listen to the Navi, who encouraged him to step back, to concede, to allow Mitzrayim to cross through Eretz Yisrael. Ki gzer nigzol asachsech Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim. He wanted to allow Mitzrayim to cross through Eretz Yisrael to fight against the other enemies of the Jews to the north. And yet, as the Kina tells us, Dovak bo chit letzani hador, asher komo achar hadelos lisdor, that the sin of those letzani hador, of those Jews, the letzanim, who mocked the Musar that they received from the Navi, the letzanim who were impervious to all Musar that they received because they mocked any Musar they received, they continued to conceal Avodah Zarah in their homes. And that chait, surprisingly, was something that Yoshia was held responsible for. And as a result, when Yoshia went to battle against Paro, following his refusal to allow him to cross the Eretz Yisrael, the Kinah describes, Vayoru Hamorim Lamelech Yoshia, they fired, the archers fired at him, Odenu Otem Enoch Begevio Nochatzim, they were still firing arrows at him as he was closing his eyes, arrow after arrow, chetz after chetz, lemorim velochatzim, firing at his body. So aduhu v'samu kamatar lachitzim, he became a target for their arrows. Vayizriku bo shlosh me'el schitzim, he was pierced, his body was pierced by 300 arrows. And in his last dying act of tzidkus, the Kina describes to us how Kalim hitu achra vezon motzafir, they bent to listen to what he was saying. Var mitzui nefesh ma'asav hefiu, and as he was dying, ruch svasav hiftza mipiu, he breathed from his lips the words, tzadiku Hashem ki mori sefiu, that God is righteous, I have rebelled against his wishes. Which ultimately is what we always need to do when confronting tragedy, to be matzdik as hadin, to recognize that Tzadik Hu Hashem, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is righteous in whatever happens, even if it seems to be a tragedy when it occurs to us. And this Kina Vayikonin Yimiyo Al Yoshio is based on the Psukim in Divrei Hayamim, which say that Vayikonin Yimiyo Al Yoshio, Yimiyo actually eulogized Yoshio after he died. Vayomru Kol Hasharim V'Hasharos B'Kinosem Al Yoshio Adayom. All of the singers recited kinos for Yoshio, by Yitnum Lechok Al Yisrael V'Hinam Ksuvim Al HaKinos. It became established for Klal Yisrael. And in fact, the Pesukim Eicha Perek Dalet, some of those Pesukim are a reference, Rashi tells us in Perek Dalet and Eicha, to Yoshio's mourning, to Yirmiyo's mourning of Yoshio. There's an interesting comment of the Rashi in Divrei Hayamim there, which, according to the Chidah, is not really Rashi. It's another one of the Rishonim. The Rashi in Divrei Hayamim there writes, and this is often cited, by Num Lachok, that it became established to mourn Yoshio. Rashi there says, Kishemizdamen lahem shum tzar ubechia, shohim mekonunim bo'um ubochim al hama'ora. Whenever Klaisa would mourn any tragedy, hey mazkirim zehatzar imo, they would mourn this tragedy of Yoshio's death as well. That apparently this death of Yoshio was seen as the final nail in the coffin of Klal Yisrael's independence. Had Yoshio lived, had he continued in his tshuva movement, the Gaul's path may never have happened, because they were moving in the right direction, like never before. But with his death, premature and tragic death, that perhaps sealed the fate, that the chait letzani hador, the chait of the Jews who sinned with Avodah Zarah at his time, would ultimately seal the fate of all of Klal Yisrael and bringing Eretz Yisrael and Beis HaMikdash to Churban. And for that reason, the Rashi in Divrei Hayamim tells us that whenever Klal Yisrael would mourn from that day on any tsar, any suffering, any tragedy, they would also mourn this tragedy of Yoshio's death as well. And the Rashi there says, Dugma b'Tisha B'Av, just like on Tisha B'Av, Shemazkirim Kinos al Haharugim Bigzeros She'iru B'Yomenu. When we mention, again, it's not Rashi, it's another one of the Rishonim, writing that we mention on Tisha B'Av Kinos for those who are massacred as a result of the terrible decrees of our time. Just as on Tisha B'Av we mourn other more current contemporary tragedies in conjunction with the Churban, so too in times of Yoshio after his death, they would mourn his death in conjunction with the other tragedies that they would mourn as well. Salvechik Zatzal pointed out that this is another instance of a Kina mourning an individual tragedy, mourning the death of a yachid, of an individual, But it's not just any individual, it's the death of a tzaddik, of a leader, of a melech, of a leader of Klal Yisrael, who, as we just mentioned, had he survived, perhaps we could have averted the Chorban altogether.